thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally, and I'm here with the legend, Will Stradamus.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm fine, Will Stradamus. Ray Gigi's not in on today. He's on vacay, just like Will Stradamus was last week. But now we got him back. We thought you were dodging us at first, though. Real talk, true story.
Nah, I told you what happened.
What happened?
You told me not to come.
I told you not. That's right. I did tell you not to come.
Yeah, I told you I was going to be late. I was going to be here. I was going to get here at 8:05, 8:10.
All these said you was running massively late. That's why I didn't want you to waste your time.
Yeah, me running late, it's
8:05 is not massively late. I'm thinking 8:30.
I'm usually on time.
You are on time, but you said massive. You said 8:05. I was
Eight. 8:05. I would have got here 8:05, 8:15.
Oh, no. I was looking out. I didn't want to know because we do an hour show now. I didn't want it to be
I understand. I understand. That's totally understandable.
I got to look out. I can't have, 30 minutes left. I wouldn't even want to come in 30 minutes before the show. I wouldn't want to stay home and watch the Orioles game. Truth be told, I didn't want to do the show last week because I wanted to study the Orioles game. Right now, the Washington Nationals.
How'd that go for you?
Sucked, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
That's a jerk move right there. You know that, right?
I know.
That's just terrible. Anyway, the Washington Nationals are playing the NLDS against the Dodgers, and it's tied 5-5. They outlasted Kershaw. Kershaw had a great game, had about 11 strikeouts before he left the game, and then the bullpen didn't hold that lead for him. But we'll talk about that later on in the show. But Will too. How would we do this?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. Here are the topics for today's show. Of the Washington Redskins defeating the Baltimore Ravens 16-10. At 8:15, we will preview Sunday's Washington Redskins-Philadelphia Eagles game. The Washington Nationals eliminating if they do win today, eliminating the LA Dodgers, if not going to game 5. We'll discuss that at the 8:30 mark. And we'll make our week 6 NFL picks and fantasy football picks at 8:40. Finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss the importance of Colin Kaepernick starting for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. But first, let's talk about the Washington Redskins beating the Baltimore Ravens. You saw the game. What were your thoughts of the game?
So, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I watched the game. I saw the highlights.
The highlights, okay.
This team really needs your team, was what I'm referring to.
The Washington Redskins. Yeah,
really needs a running game.
A running game or stopping the run?
No, a run game.
Okay.
Matt Jones leaves a lot to be desired from a starting running back.
I agree.
You need to be able to stop the run. You were gashed by last week by Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, with Crowell and Duke Johnson.
Yeah, Crowell and Duke Johnson. Crowell averaging 7.1 yards. Then you come back this week and you have West averaging 6.2 yards.
Yeah.
Luckily, this team, for a defense that you don't consider top notch or even top half of the league, you guys do get timely turnovers, though. I will say that about you guys. The way Joe Barry, he coaches you, everyone to get to the ball, strip the ball. If two guys, one guy hold the guy up, the other guy strip the ball out. So this defense does make opportunistic turnovers at the right time. And if you think about it, teams that historically or when you think about teams who haven't had a great defense, mm-hmm. but had a winning record.
Yeah.
They had a defense that made opportunistic turnovers, which is something that Washington has. So I'm not saying that this team's going to be good or anything.
Well, a team that comes to mind is that I can't think of the year, but the year the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That defense wasn't a defense that was going to shut you down, but they did create pressure and they did create turnovers, and that helped them win the Super Bowl. So yeah, I get your point. I'm not saying this team is that New Orleans Saints team, but There is a formula out there that you don't have to be the most dominating defense to win the Super Bowl.
Nope, you sure don't. You just have to opportunistically create turnovers, and also you need an offense that
is consistent.
Consistent and efficient.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you need Kurt to play at the level that which he's being paid at.
Yeah, the $20 million for this 1 year.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that the defense – they did put it like this way. The Ravens offense isn't a juggernaut. Steve Smith went out. I think that made it much easier for that team to play defense. But before he went out, he looked like he was about to go on a run.
He did. Well, so, from what I didn't see the game, but from the few highlights that I saw,
yeah, he looked
the
good.
Catches he made. Also, we will be remiss if we didn't announce that the Ravens subsequently fired Mark Trestman as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So after that game,
we ruined lives.
I wouldn't go that far.
Obviously, when the Redskins defense shuts you out in the second half, you ruin lives.
I wouldn't go that far, my brother.
But I'm not gonna say a man deserves to be fired. But I will say this: if you got a guy in West who's getting, who I believe was like 11 carries for 96 yards, and I have to pull up the stats to make sure, but for off 11 carries and that's it, and he already had 96 yards, I can see the anger from a John Harbaugh saying, you know what, I don't need this guy on my team coaching my guys up.
Well, he replaced him with Marty Mortenwig as a I still support the Eagles. It's just that I don't have that diehard.
Yeah, you're not that big time fan
like I used to be. Yeah.
The Randall Cunningham in you.
If you're going to replace him with Marty Mortenwig, good luck with that. Marty Mortenwig, anyone who was an Eagles fan knows that during his time with the Eagles as the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid, wasn't really balanced. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a balanced offense. Really didn't run the ball in between the tackles a lot. He's a guy like Andy Reid who favors the screen game and uses that as a short running game. Good luck with that if you think you're going to get Marty Mortenwig and he's going to pound the ball 20 times a game.
And on Twitter, my man George, what's up, George, said Mark Trestman's performance was inexcusable and he deserved to get fired.
Harsh,
George. It's always hard for me to say that one man deserves to be fired.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I can see it. But I see why fans. I know George is not a Ravens fan, but I can see why any individual would say that. Oh, he should be fired because again, the Redskins defense has shown you they can't stop the run, and you went and Trestman as the offensive coordinator decided not to run the ball anymore. And that's what made the game so close, especially when you knew that when Steve Smith went down and those wide receivers couldn't get separation with the Redskins defensive backs with Fuller, who played a great game for his young career. And also Quentin Dunbar, who continues to play well with Breshad Breeland out for this long period of time. So seeing that, I would have expected the Baltimore Ravens to go back to the running game, but they didn't. And that's good for Washington Redskins fans out there watching that and having this Redskins team go on a three so far, that mean including the Ravens game, on a three game winning streak. Did the Redskins do you believe that the Redskins defense won this game?
No, special teams won this game.
Special teams.
Jameson Crowder. That's what won this game for.
The Redskins defense gave up no points in the second half. This is my thing about the Redskins defense. And Grant, again, I will say this. I believe in this game the Ravens played a part. But also I will say this, that throughout the three-game winning streak, I just believe that this Redskins defense has gotten no respect in terms of fans or even, you know, experts who have viewed this winning streak, because at the end of the day, we always ask for.
I mean, you can't say no respect. I gave them kudos. I said they're opportunistic defense that creates turnovers at a timely manner when this team needs it, which is true.
I agree. I think the special teams have been great. I'm not saying the special teams.
No, you said the deep.
What I'm talking for you, what your point saying the special teams. I'm not saying the special teams wasn't more impactful than the defense. I just feel like. I guess I'm really offensive when it comes to people talking about the defense, because I know the defense is terrible.
You're a homer.
Well, not even being a homer, because the offense hasn't. All right, before the season started, right? Everybody acted like this offense was going to carry the load. Like this
not
was going to be
not
most of the people. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Okay. You know what I mean? Right. Most people said this offense is going to carry this Washington Redskins team, right?
Yes, I think
it. And has it?
That's true. Yes,
and has it?
No, it hasn't. It's been. I mean, for. The hype that it was getting, the considerable hype that it was getting during the preseason, locally.
Yes, locally. Locally. That's the thing, locally.
Especially locally. This offense has not lived up to the lofty predictions that everyone said that they would have. You know, their performance hasn't been justified.
And my man George agrees with Will T. He said, I agree with Will T. Special teams won this game because it kept us in the game when the offense struggled in the first half. Man, you got, I mean... George agrees with you, man.
Yeah, George is a pretty smart guy. I don't even know George, but George is a smart guy.
because everybody should agree with
Wilson. I'm not saying everyone. Not everyone. I like when people don't agree with me because it allows me the opportunity to discuss the merits of my thoughts.
Would you say this Redskins defense is the reason for the 3-game winning streak? Or one of the main reasons for this 3-game winning streak? Let me put it that way.
I think it's fair to say this: the defense has been the catalyst for the 3-game win streak. I think more of them not losing the game more mm-hmm. than winning the game more than anything. Because if you think about a team that's, you know, teams have come in and average 5+ yards a carry
mm-hmm.
In the NFL, you would think with the genius offensive minds that are in the NFL that you would run the ball.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like with that Sunday night, what, 2 or 3 years ago when New England, when they had Jonas Gray
against the
Colts.
And they just ran. All they did was run
the ball. They exactly. just ran the ball. You would think someone would do that. I would think Hugh Jackson would have done that. And then having seen that, I would have thought that Mark Trestman would have done that.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So.
Or even the Giants.
Yeah. You would have thought that the Giants would have done that also, but.
No, I think that this defense deserves most of the credit when it comes to three game winning streak. To be honest with you, let me backtrack. The special teams deserves most of the credit. Secondary, I guess the second I'm ranking it. Secondly, would be the Washington Redskins defense. We can't really ignore what the special teams unit has done with Hopkins and even the return game. What we saw during this 3-game winning streak. But when you look at the defense, I've always looked at closing plays. Right, you always want your player or players to make big plays in clutch situations, right? We talk about playing basketball, right? Mm-hmm. When it's 5-4, 3-2-1, your superstar players step up, or your that key element of whatever it is, they step up when you need them. Now, either the defense or the offense, right? They step up. Baseball, you need, like, if it's a Bryce Harper, bottom of the ninth, homer or double to win the game, they step up. Well, when we've seen over this 3-game winning streak, when the Redskins need to end the game, their defense has stepped up. You can look at the Giants with Sue Cravens in that game. You look at the Cleveland Browns game when Josh Norman, I believe it was Josh Norman, stripped the fumble. Blackman stripped that fumble towards the end of the game. I want to say it was Blackman or Josh Norman. When Josh Norman got that interception. I apologize. Yes. When Josh Norman got that interception. Or you see within the Ravens game, you saw Josh Norman made that play with Perryman, even though he stepped out of bounds, or they how that defense got the final stop on that drive. Like, they stopped them. It wasn't the offense ending the game. The defense ended the game on that stop, on that drive. So, to me, when you look at this defense, they've made the big plays to close it out. The offense didn't hold the ball towards the end. They didn't have that Joe Gibbs hogs mentality when they, you know, time of possession, they ended the game with the ball. The defense has closed out games for this team during this 3-game winning streak.
I agree with you on that.
So I feel like that's why I guess the way that comes from when it comes to mind for me with the Washington Redskins, like, is like, this defense deserves more credit for a piss poor defense. I believe, don't get it twisted, I'm not saying the defense is the Baltimore Ravens defense, but I believe it within this team in this 3-game winning streak, they deserve more credit than the Redskins offense.
Speaking about defenses in general, I saw like the sack leaders for the NFL. You'll love this.
I know who it is.
One former Washington linebacker is leading the league in sacks, Lorenzo Alexander.
Is he? Lorenzo yes. Alexander? Okay.
And then guess who's number 3?
Is he a Redskin?
A former.
Oh, Brian Arakpo.
Yes.
Oh, I know. He had 3 sacks early. I know.
So
this is for the people out there who thought Brian Arakpo was done. I believe me, I know this. Oh, I checked the stats early.
I didn't say it was done. I just don't think he deserved the $10 million that he wanted to get a year.
Man, I called my brother. I was like, Arakpo had 3 sacks within like 2 or 3 games already.
We'll see. It's still a long season.
He's going to get 10 sacks.
It's great to see Lorenzo Alexander.
I think that's great.
Guy who's finally get a chance to be a pass rushing. Outside linebacker, lead the league in sacks at this point, playing for Rex Ryan's defense.
No, I'm with you on that. Lorenzo Alexander is a different beast in his own right. But I posed a question on Twitter about, has the Redskins defense been the most important element within this 3-game winning streak? My man Brandon on Twitter said, I think they haven't played a talented team or players who can really hurt besides Odell. And it goes back to what are you valuing? If you evaluate this defense and how important they've been to this team offensively, this team hasn't played juggernaut defensive teams, and they haven't put up the numbers that we expect this offense to put up. But the defense has come to play, and the special teams has played well. So within this team and the three phases of football, the defense has been just as big as any other entity within the Washington Redskins team and within this three-game winning streak. So I guess, like, just even that argument alone, again, if you're going to say that the Redskins offense, I guess my point is, if you're going to say the Redskins offense is the biggest element for this team, then I'm going to really argue with you, because they just haven't really come to play. On our Facebook page, my man Johnny said, same question, he said, well, not giving up many second half points means something. Also, our offense has yet to get in sync, excuse me. So I would have to say yes. Minus the overall run defense, the defense has been the key. So I know we all look at the run defense and say, okay, the run defense is atrocious. But when we're looking at the Redskins defense and some of the plays they made, I believe that this defense has been just as impactful as any other element other than, to be honest with you, special teams. But it's still time to, if you have more time to come. I've got the Eagles coming up. That boy Carson Wentz looks like a monster. I mean, he does. He looks like a beast, and that's Will T's his new Randall Cunningham.
I wouldn't go.
Not your new Randall?
Randall? No, not. He's definitely he's showing a type of promise that Philadelphia fans are excited about the future, especially with him as the quarterback.
Yeah, he is great. But we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles after the break. You listen to Urban Sports saying
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Washington. But hey. Ray's not, I mean, Will's really not digging this. You listen to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, my boy, Ice Willie T. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Just tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, no S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right, man. I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Right, the Redskins right now are 3-2, and the Eagles are 3-1. They had their first loss against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Is this Redskins-Eagles game a must-win for the Washington Redskins if they want to win the NFC East?
You add that caveat, if they want to win the NFC East.
Yeah, that's
it. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, for the simple fact that you still have another game against – well – yeah, because this would be your third game within the division.
Yeah, man. You already lost.
Already lost to Dallas.
Home game.
Yeah. Well, that's, you brought up something interesting. If you look at Washington's schedule, even though they've traveled to New York and mm-hmm. they'll be traveling to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. they haven't taken a long road trip all the season.
Not yet. No, not at all.
For the first, 6 weeks of the season. So mm-hmm. that kind of would bode well for them, you know, for being well rested up later on down the stretch run. Mm-hmm. But that's another note for another time. But I think, no, it's not a must win. Not a must win. No, not at this point.
I kind of think it's a must win, just because you don't want to lose two home games to divisional opponents. You don't have to play them at their home again. Dallas came here and got a W, and now it's going to be a tough order to Texas and get it and pull out a W on the road. And then the Eagles, these are venues that I feel like are hard to win at. You got a raucous crowd and whatnot. So I just feel like if you got a team at home and you can try to, you know, take care of business, why not do it now? You don't want to, again, go 0-2 in the division at home. You're already, you're 1-1. I'm not saying that you, you know, they're 1-1, so they could be 2-1 in the division. I'm not even looking at an overall divisional record right now because I'm with you on that point. It's still early. But when you got home games in the division, these are games you got to take advantage of. You already lost a divisional game at home against the Cowboys. You don't want to do it against the Eagles. So if you want to win the division, you got to take care of business at home. You see how good the Eagles look. I mean, things happen. You slip up at time and time, but they beat a good Steelers team in Philadelphia and they dominated that game. You're not going to have your best games every Sunday. And they fell behind against the Detroit Lions and still were almost able to pull that game out. So,
and what shouldn't have been a fumble.
Yeah. I mean, that's neither here nor there. The Redskins get that all the time. But I mean, I feel you. I ain't see the game, but I've heard about that so-called call.
I saw it. Yeah. It shouldn't have been a fumble, but.
It's okay, Wiltie. I understand, Wiltie. I'm with you though. I mean, I've always had these type of debates with multiple Redskins issues because I feel like people take out on the Redskins because of the name.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory.
Yes, you know it. Hey, if you think this game is a must-win, please give us a call and comment. The number is 240-478-3140. The question is the Redskins-Eagles game a must-win for the Washington Redskins? Feel free to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. But back to the initial question. And also, you got to kind of – I think you have to impose your will on some like the Eagles. The Eagles right now are really confident. If you can get this W against the Eagles – you can probably put them at a point where they can start doubting themselves. Like you just lost to the Detroit Lions and now you lost to the Washington Redskins.
I think doubting themselves is a bit much for the simple fact that the Detroit game, you probably feel on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, losing sucks. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how you feel about that loss, probably feel about a 8 because A – you brought yourself back from a 14-0 deficit. Mm-hmm. Two, you were actually up when Ryan Matthews fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
And then three, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, he threw an interception late. So you probably feel, you know, a little bit better about this loss than you do, you know, other losses. So I don't think, you know, imposing your will on a team that's doubting themselves. I don't think Philadelphia is really doubting themselves at this point. I think if anything, they exceeded expectations with a rookie quarterback
that only
played, what, like 20 snaps in the preseason.
So what would be the keys to the Washington Redskins to take this game?
A better performance on defense, stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to show Carson Wentz something that he hasn't seen to kind of confuse him.
Mm-hmm.
from a defensive standpoint, whether it's blitz or looks or a different look with your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Then also on offense, you need to make Philadelphia one-dimensional. One of the things they've been able to do is be effective running the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, putting Carson Wentz in position where he isn't going for third and long, you know, third and six. Yeah, it's been third and manageable all throughout the first four games of the season for him.
Do you feel like, because I look at the Eagles running, you know, running game, and I look at the situation, and I agree with you that let me step back and say this much. Every running game in the NFL should scare the Washington Redskins. I don't care if you run the ball two times a game. Every running game should scare the Washington Redskins. Just from what we've seen out of these first five games in the season for the Washington Redskins. But Matthews and Sproles, I feel like don't scare me because I just feel like the Eagles eventually will throw the ball a little bit more because I don't know.
It's not just Matthews and Sproles. Mm-hmm. Then you also have Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. You also have Kenyon Barner.
Yeah.
So they come at you with a four back attack, you know, whatever guy's hot is usually the guy that they're going to ride the hot hand.
Gotcha.
Also one thing you have to be aware of, this is a team that does pretty well with two tight end sets, with Brent Celek and then also, Burton, Trey Burton, the tight end, the third year tight end out of Florida, former quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say if Zach Ertz is back?
Okay. You know? Yeah.
Then also you have on the outside, you know, this team has two pretty physical wide receivers with Jordan Matthews and
gotta catch the ball.
Yeah,
Jordan Matthews gotta catch.
Jordan Matthews is.
He drops the ball.
He has the drops. Then you also have Beckham. Beckham Green.
Oh yeah, you're back with height.
Yeah, 6'5". So, yeah. You know, this team, they don't have any one player that scares you, but they do have some complementary weapons.
I think the coach will.
Yeah, and also I think that Doug Peterson is doing a great job of calling the game.
Yeah, they're coached well. That yeah. I will. They are coached
and on defense,
very well. That's the problem. That's front seven. Now, I'm not worried about it. The secondary doesn't scare
someone
me.
Said the
that
front seven is. Someone said the front four was the best in the NFL.
It's possible. It's possible. Not real talk. I think you have to. Fletcher Cox is on a whole different level right now.
Absolutely,
he's on a whole different level right now.
Then you have Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham.
You have Connor Baldwin and Benny Logan at nose tackle.
It's a very stout front seven, and you saw that. You saw what they did to Ben Roethlisberger in Philadelphia and how much pressure they put on him. And you know, you always hear about how the front seven can help out the secondary, the back end, right? You always hear that. And that's what the Eagles have. Like, they don't, their secondary doesn't have to be the best secondary in the world. But since they put so much pressure on the opposing offensive line and quarterback, that, you know, the quarterback doesn't have time to get that ball out for extended routes. So I feel like, you know, the Eagles defense is a challenging defense. It's a defense that's going to give any offense issues. So when I look at the Eagles, that's what fears me. It's like, how are you going to block Fletcher Cox? So I'm looking at the inside guys like Brandon Sheriff or, you know, Spencer Long or Sean Laval. Can they hold up against a Fletcher Cox? That's what I'm looking at.
I think that's probably the most important matchup.
Yeah.
Washington's offensive line versus Philadelphia's front four.
Yeah.
Because we know that from what we've seen thus far, Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for Philadelphia, he doesn't blitz a lot.
No, he doesn't. He plays a lot of coverage.
And one thing that gave Kurt problems was Pittsburgh, when they played coverage.
Good assessment. That's a very good assessment. My man George says, again, says Sproles and Matt on Twitter, says Sproles and Matthews in the passing game scares me, plus Wentz running around and making and extending plays. Oh, I mean, yeah, he's actually mobile for a big guy.
Yeah, he's not a guy who you think that's swift of foot, that gets outside of the pocket and, you know, breaks and makes big plays with his feet, but he moves around just enough and buys himself and his receivers enough time for them to get open if a play breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we listen to Urban Sports saying, I'm Wally. I'm here. My boy Ice Willie T. Ray G is out on vacay. Give me a prediction of the game.
Excuse me. 27-24 Philadelphia.
27-24 is Philadelphia. Is that Will Stradamus speaking? That's Will T.
Will Stradamus.
Will Stradamus, man.
27-24 Philadelphia.
You know, Ravens on a three game winning streak. I did pick the Browns and they still won, so I can't hold the whole superstition saying I can pick against the Redskins and they still win. So I'm just gonna go on my gut feeling, and it's been, you know, I've been doing half decent, half, you know, a little something. I'm gonna go Redskins 27, Eagles 17.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's gonna be, you know, this kid doesn't turn the ball over either. It's gonna be a special teams play. The Redskins are gonna make a big special teams play to change the dynamic of the game. But anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're gonna talk about the Nationals playing the Dodgers right now. The game is 5-5. This is a pivotal game four. Nats up 2-1. Can the Nationals close out the Dodgers? You listen to Urban Sports saying
for ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m., right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m., Hopewell.
I seen your girl post a bill, so I hit her in the deal. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man. I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross. I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here. My boy Ice Willie T. Ray Jeezy's out. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Again, I mentioned before the break, the Nationals are up. I mean, sorry, the Nationals and the Dodgers are tied 5-5. Bottom of the eighth. The Nationals are up in the NLDS, 2-1. This is game 4. Your thoughts so far on the Nationals playoff run?
I'm trying to think of the right word, and I know in radio you aren't supposed to have dead air, so I'm going to try.
No, you're cool. Let me put it this way. Not even that. I think that's too vague. That's too broad anyway. How important has Dusty Baker been to this Nationals team, period, including right now in the postseason?
Oh, he's been the most important piece that's changed in this team last offseason. He's shown his worth as a manager, you know, from a strategic point of view and also from a personnel point of view, just the way he relates to his players and the way that this team is a lot looser compared to last 2 years with Matt Williams. Matt Williams was, you know, former Marine, very uptight, very strict, just, you know, get your job done. You know, where Dusty, you know, he's actually built relationships with his players and it's shown throughout the season. And, you know, he's kept a very positive perspective and it's helped during this game. You know, when the Nats were down against the Dodgers, down 1-0 in the series, and also today, when the Dodgers were up 5-2 against Washington.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think, and I'm with you with that. Dusty has been very important to this Nationals team because, like Will said, you can see the pressure with the Washington Nationals when they were down or they didn't do what everybody expected them to do. You can see how, you know, that snow had a snowball effect. They were down 1-0. Kershaw took game 1. They came back, took game 2. Took game 3. Now, even in this game, in game 4, where the Nationals were down 5-2, Joe Ross went 2 1/3. He didn't pitch well, gave up 4 runs. They were down 2-4. Then it was 5-2 off Peterson's RBI double. And then what happens? They outlast Kershaw. Kershaw had a great game. Kershaw went to, I believe, the 7th inning. He went to the 7th inning two down with the bases loaded. And, you know, the reliever, they took him out. Reliever hit Jason Wirth. And then you had Daniel Murphy had a key RBI single to score 2 runs. So when you look at what Dusty Baker imposes all that confidence. This team doesn't have that give up mentality. They're always there fighting, battling, clawing. Look, they lost Wilson Ramos. Any team could be depressed off that. Dusty Baker said, you know what? It's obviously we want Wilson Ramos here, but the season's not over. Next man up. You got to step up and play baseball. And he's instilled that confidence in his team. Bryce Harper isn't having the best, hasn't had the best season or the best postseason. But that hasn't even hindered Dusty Baker on leaning on other players. Remember, everybody wanted to bench Ryan Zimmerman, you know, and he was for Ryan Zimmerman. And Ryan Zimmerman, to me, hasn't had a terrible postseason. So I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at what Dusty Baker has done with this team. And whatnot, and saying, you know what, he's instilled confidence in his ball club.
No, absolutely, I totally agree. No matter, you know, if Washington loses, which, you know, is still bottom of the 8th, 2 on, 2 out. Blake Treinen just gave up a single to Andre Ethier. Mm-hmm. Even if Washington were to lose this game, I feel totally confident with game 5 coming back home on Thursday.
And you mentioned an awesome thing. Think about it. They just had the Dodgers. They had their best pitcher pitch in game 4.
Yep.
He's not even healthy yet. He had back issues and he threw over 100 some odd pitches in this game. There's no way you can use him as a reliever. They're going to have Rich, probably if they do win this game, Rich Hill will be the starter in game 5. I'm taking Max Scherzer over Rich Hill any day of the week. They hit Rich Hill already in game 2. They hit him well enough. I'm taking Max Scherzer over Rich Hill any day of the week. I'm looking at Max Scherzer as a guy that in that day can strike out 15 batters and shut you down. He may even no hit you. So if I'm a Nats fan or I'm a hitter for the Washington Nationals, I'm like this. If I'm a hitter, I'm like this. All I got to do is score about 2 runs, 2-3 runs, and I feel good because I got Mad Max on the mound.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You have to feel confident going into game 5. If Washington were to lose this game, you know, thinking two, just get max two or three runs, mm-hmm. and we good.
Yeah.
We good to go.
I'm with you. Totally with you on that. My man, George on Twitter talking about Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker has done brilliantly from the start. Most moves he's made have worked out, and young players are developing. I think that's very important too, for any manager, especially in baseball. When you get your young guys balling, that's something that's very essential. And, you know, he believes in a Joe Ross, a Michael A. Taylor. He believes in these individuals, a Trey Turner. We see what Trey Turner's doing. He believes in these individuals, and you've seen these guys have played better baseball. And it's going to be interesting to see what goes on from years to come from this point in time. I can argue, to me, I just feel like for this Washington Nationals organization, Dusty Baker has probably been their best manager ever. I know David Johnson's pretty good. I'm not taking that away from David Johnson, but I just like what Max Scherzer what Dusty Baker has brought to this team. And right now, the Dodgers have scored. Dodgers are up 6-5, bottom of the eighth. Big RBI single by Chase Utley to give the Dodgers the lead. Still ain't over. Ninth inning's coming.
Yep.
So, you know, it ain't over. They can just close this out and get to, get the Nationals bats out there. We'll see. We can see what happens. We may have something dramatic. So let's pump our brakes. It's not over yet. Not over yet. Earlier in the bullpen section, Steven Strasburg threw about 30 pitches and felt some discomfort. Is it over for Steven Strasburg this season?
I know Dusty Baker tried to, play it down, saying that, it's okay. But I don't think how fragile he's been in the past, I think Steven Strasburg isn't going to pitch anymore this season. If he does, Washington will have to make a deep run into the playoffs. I'm talking about World Series run. Yeah. If he were to pitch, and even then, I still don't think that he would be healthy enough 100% to we're at the level where he would feel you would feel comfortable with him going out on the mound.
Yeah, I hope that it's not over for him. I would love to see him in the postseason. But I'm with you. I don't even think you want to throw him in the World Series if he hasn't really tasted anything. And if he's not throwing, unless he's throwing like in another bullpen session, he's throwing about 95 to 98, then you feel like he has the stuff to maybe do some things as a reliever. I don't think I may even want him as a starter. Maybe I want him as a reliever going out of the bullpen. So, but I wouldn't trust him as a starter. And I know that's hard to say because this guy for most of the season has been this team's best pitcher until Max Scherzer went on that nice little run. As a fan of the guy, I am a fan of Steven Strasburg. I would like to see him out there. But again, I just think where this team's at right now, there's really no need to have him out there at this point in time. But I feel bad for him. Obviously, he had bad press going on with him when he got the shutdown. It's an opportunity for him to be that big time pitcher, and he's not able to do that in this series or in this postseason, unfortunately, which it does seem like it. Hypothetically speaking, say the Nationals get rid of the Dodgers maybe today or in game five. Let me scratch that. I'm gonna scratch that. I'm gonna go back to something you said earlier. Scherzer. Is Scherzer in game five, in your opinion, say if you're a gambling dude, a can't miss win for the Nationals against this Dodgers team?
It's October, so I'm not gonna say can't miss because we've all seen some pretty funky things happen. Yeah. October baseball is one of the more random sports when it comes to playoffs. I'm going to say he's as close to it as possible. You mm-hmm. know that Max Scherzer is a guy that's pitched in some of these bigger moments
mm-hmm.
When he was in Detroit
yeah.
with the Tigers. He's probably the National League Cy Young winner. So I think you feel as comfortable. I think you feel the most comfortable with him going up there game five versus any other pitcher in the NL.
I agree.
Outside of maybe Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, I think that's where we are right now. That's why I'm at where you're at. I think other than Madison Bumgarner, I'm confident that Max Scherzer can beat the Dodgers. I just think that he's that type of guy. And I think I don't know if I talked about it with you or maybe with Ray, but when you look at Max Scherzer, he's so amped up and emotional, and for him it works. If you watch him many outings, when he's amped up, he pitches well. And there's nothing as amped as an elimination game. You know what I mean? Game seven for this is a game five at home. I think emotionally he'll be into it. He'll be so into it that, he may throw 98 to 99 and and just in that first inning. And I know throughout that game, I just feel like he'll get that outing where he strikes out double digits. So you have your ace against their second, their second best pitcher in Rich Hill, who's had a great season. I'm not taking anything away from Rich Hill, but I'm taking Max Scherzer over him any day of the week. But anyway, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, Will Stradamus will give you the rest of his picks, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're still going off of Will Stradamus, right?
Will Stradamus when it comes to these picks, yeah. Baby.
Anyway, I'm going to include the rest of my picks. When I mean rest of, we already did the Redskins game, so we'll give you the rest of our NFL picks. You listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. And that is Strast.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. And now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
Time you hear this, I would have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards fuck my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward. Had a dream, I was king. I woke up, still king. Snap games, nipple is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f-ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f-ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on, I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up.
It's my song, son. Eminem, Bad Meets Evil Lighting. He was Evil Lighters, right?
Yep.
That's right. It's a great freaking song. It's unbe-freaking-leavable. Anyway, listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally Boy, my boy Ice Willie T, Ray Jeezy's out. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Ray Jeezy and myself went 7-7. Will Stradamus, aka Will T, went 8-6. from the football garbage time, Jason and Scott went 9-5. Ryan and Joanne went 8-6, and my man Hakun Wan went 5-9. All right, Will T, go ahead, say what you want to say, man. You know you want to say something? Go ahead.
I don't have.
You don't want to say nothing? What? Will T ain't saying nothing?
Nothing to say, my brother.
Okay, let me just say the overall records. Ray G's and myself are 37-40. Ice Willie T, a.k.a. Will Stradamus, is 42-35. The ad-libs are something else.
I just said,
Yeah, you're like Jeezy.
I just said,
The ad-libs are something else right now.
Okay, my man.
You want to start this? We're going to start off first game. Denver versus the San Diego Chargers. Thursday night game.
Denver is a 3.5-point favorite. I will take Denver.
I'm going to do the upset. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Okay.
Yes. See.
Whatever works for you, my brother.
I told you, man. Sometimes you got to go hard in the paint, brah.
I hear you.
San Francisco versus the Buffalo Bills. This is, and we're going to talk about it in our last segment. We're going to talk about that at the 8:50 mark. Colin Kaepernick starting in this game.
Buffalo is an 8.5-point favorite. I'm taking Buffalo.
I'm taking Buffalo. I'm not going to fake the funk. We already made our picks between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins. Cleveland versus the Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee is a 8.5-point favorite, but I'm taking Cleveland to get the first win of the season.
I'm going to take Tennessee in this game. Baltimore versus the New York Giants in New York.
The Giants are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm taking the Giants.
I'm going to take the Giants as well. Carolina versus the New Orleans Saints.
This game isn't on the board yet.
But oh, you know what? I'm going to take that back. Baltimore, the Giants, I'm taking Baltimore. I'm going to change that. I'm taking Baltimore. All right, Carolina versus the Saints.
This game isn't on the board yet, but I'm taking Carolina.
They need this as a must win. I'm taking Carolina. Jacksonville versus the Chicago Bears.
Chicago is a 2.5-point favorite. This line stinks. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, give me Jacksonville as well. The L.A. Rams versus the Detroit Lions.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Did I pick that game?
Obviously, you you want to do your favorites? You want to do your little picks? There's 7.5-point underdog.
Oh, yeah. Detroit is a 3.5-point favorite. Detroit is hot. Detroit
beat the Eagles
last year. Yeah. Last week. I'm taking Detroit.
Give me the LA Rams in this game. And also, Ray Jeezy will have his picks like Will T last week. Will have his picks on Twitter. Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Miami Dolphins.
Pittsburgh is a 9-point favorite. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to Steelers as well. Cincinnati versus New England Patriots.
New England's a 10-point favorite. Give me New England.
Yeah, give me New England. Kansas City versus Oakland.
This is a pick 'em game, but I'm going with Kansas City.
Well, I want to go with Kansas City too.
Why don't you just go with Kansas City, dog?
I'm not going. No, I'm anti Will T in this. I'm the anti Wilstradamus. I'm going with Oakland. We 4-1, man. Silver and black, baby. ATL versus Seattle.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, this is a very hard one, to be honest.
Seattle's a 6-point favorite.
I know, and Atlanta's been playing the better ball.
But I'm still going with Seattle at home.
I'm going Atlanta. Atlanta in this game. Dallas versus Green Bay in Green Bay.
Green Bay is a 4-point favorite. Give me Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay as well for myself. Indy versus the Houston Texans in Houston.
This is a Sunday night game.
Yes.
Houston is a 3-point favorite. 46.5 is the over-under. This line stinks to me. Give me Indy.
Hey, give me Indy as well in this game. The Jets, New York Jets versus the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona is a 9-point favorite. I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going with Arizona. The Jets stink right now. Hopefully, this may be the game that takes out Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starter for the New York Jets.
You have to. If you have to. You tied Bowles. You know, you're coming off a season when you were 10-6. Mm-hmm. I know that you gave Ryan Fitzpatrick, $12 million? And Brandon Marshall said if the ship were sinking, he would stay on that ship with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm telling you, Brandon, you need to jump off that ship, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. You know what I mean?
I'm taking Arizona.
Yeah, we both have Arizona in this one. Give me your fantasy pick for the week.
My fantasy football pick of the week. It's a guy who he's a star in this league, but he hasn't performed up to the level that everyone thought that he would thus far in the year. I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, my brother has him. He's been pissed off at him.
I have him too.
Yeah, I think it's the Osweiler thing.
It's definitely the Osweiler thing.
He thinks he targets Fuller way more. He does,
and if you think about it, last year, DeAndre Hopkins had 4 quarterbacks, and all of them left a lot to be desired, and he still had 100+ catches.
Yeah, and he can't get open now.
Nope.
So I'm sure he can get open. That's something they're going to have to like figure out and work around. But yeah, I'm going to choose. I'm honest, man. It is what it is. I'm going to choose Ryan Matthews. He's playing against the Washington Redskins, right? Every week, I'm serious. Every week, if you have a running back and you don't play.
Actually, I do have Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, you have to play him.
Nah, but I have two. I think I have two better
options. Look, man, sometimes you're just going to have to. Hey.
I'm pretty good at running back. I got Jordan Howard. The rookie
You should play Ryan Matthews.
I have Ryan Matthews, Mark Ingram, and Isaiah Crowell.
You should definitely play Ryan Matthews, though. You should really play
him. See, the only reason I wouldn't play him is because it's a timeshare with
running back by committee. Yeah, running back. But he's going to automatically get a touchdown, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, he's going to get some catches out of the backyard.
He's going to get a touchdown, I'm just saying. Just telling you, Will T. Just making sure. You know, he's going to get a touchdown.
We'll see.
Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, I mentioned it. We're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick. He's been named the starter for the San Francisco 49ers against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. You're listening to the Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Ice Willie T. Ray Jeezy's out. Man, thank you for all listening to us, man. This is our last segment, but making sure you know that Black Lives Matter. And speaking of Black Lives Matter, Colin Kaepernick has been named the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Are you surprised, Will T?
Absolutely not. Have you seen San Francisco play this year?
Yes, I have seen him play. And the real question is, what took him so damn long?
Well, if you ask Chip Kelly, it was because Colin Kaepernick wasn't able to lift all this offseason, so he lost a lot of weight. And, you know, he needed to get his arm back to 100% health. But I don't think that's the 100% truth. I think it's a three-part answer. So, you know, yes, he was still coming off of the injury. He still needed to regain his weight and also be able to have his arm back to the strength and the velocity that he had on the ball previously. I think the second part of it is his contract. Colin Kaepernick had an injury guarantee that if he was injured again, then San Fran would have been on the hook for all of the money.
Similar to RG3.
Yeah, like they are this year. Mm-hmm. And I think the third part is a lot of the media.
Of course.
You know, people covering his stand against police brutality and inequality to minorities in the country through the judicial system and by the police. So I think that management and Chip Kelly wanted some of that to die down before they inserted him into the starting lineup. But, you know, they're putting him into a starting lineup this week against
the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, where, you know, I don't think the game is going to be that close. There won't be a large national media following for that game.
Yeah, it won't.
So I think this will probably be the opportune time for them to put him in the starting lineup, you know. And then also Blaine Gabbert, I don't know what the hell Chip Kelly was thinking having Blaine Gabbert as the starting quarterback.
Which amazed me about the Blaine Gabbert thing is that Blaine Gabbert has accomplished what in his NFL career?
Absolutely nothing.
And to say that, you know, he's better at this point than a Colin Kaepernick was a joke to me. Colin Kaepernick took this team to the Super Bowl. So he's been a guy who, as many had thought at the time, that he was one of the quarterbacks of the future. Now, granted, he struggled over the last couple of years. He struggled, and he hasn't been the best. He hasn't played at a high level, and I'm not taking that away from him. I'm not making any excuses for him. But he's been better than Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he has been. I think for the system that Chip Kelly wants to run, that we've seen that he's run in Philadelphia and also during his time at Oregon, outside of Michael, but that was an older Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And Michael Vick, you know, in the NFL, a quarterback who is the slightest frame as him can't take as many hits. Mm-hmm. But from a physical standpoint, Colin Kaepernick is the dream quarterback for Chip Kelly for the system that he wants to run. So hopefully Colin Kaepernick is healthy, and hopefully Colin Kaepernick can show us why Jim Harbaugh was so in love with him while he was the coach.
Do you think, you know, this is going to play in the back of my mind, do you think that some of the stuff that played out in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly and Eagle players, African-American players, played a part with Colin Kaepernick not being able to start for the San Francisco 49ers much earlier?
See, I don't want to cast any aspersion on Chip Kelly. I think it's fair to say that, judging off of what happened with, you know, the whole Riley Cooper incident, and also with LeSean McCoy saying that Chip Kelly doesn't necessarily favor African American players. Mm-hmm. There, you know, you wouldn't be wrong if you thought that, in my opinion, just yeah. because you can go off of, even though they were two isolated incidents,
yeah.
you know, one could make, you know, you could take the cast judgment on them
yeah.
if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, it wouldn't be right, but, you know, people only going to judge you off of your most recent actions.
Yeah. Look, we do a show for the people. I'm not saying that it is true, but I do think it's a fair, I think it's fair to put it out there to say that, you know, what happened in Philadelphia, you had players come out and say, well, you know, Chip Kelly wasn't for me and this, that, and the other. And then you had the Riley Cooper situation. He was still on the team. DeSean Jackson had some things to say, and other former Eagle players had things to say. And now you see this situation where, to me, there's no comparison. When we look at even careers or whatnot, who was the better quarterback between a Blaine Gabbert and a Colin Kaepernick? And then so it just goes up, and it's not like Blaine Gabbert was playing lights out as a starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. So now you have to go back and assess it and say to yourself, well, why is this guy starting? And you brought valid points, Will T, saying that, yeah, the contract situation. But if that was the case, you wouldn't play him at all.
Well, they're starting to renegotiate Colin okay. Kaepernick's contract.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick has come out and said he doesn't feel he's, you know, like he's being pushed to sign a restructured contract before he starts on Saturday, before he comes out on the field Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, you have to look at it's a business, you yeah. know. A lot of people, us on the outside, we look at it through the lens of a fan.
Why? Yeah,
you know, exactly. We all know that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is a superior quarterback
compared to
Blake Gabbert and also to Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
You know, so you're wondering why isn't he playing this and that. But, you know, the reality is that's the contract did play a role in it.
Yeah. And I agree with you. So how big is the start for the Black Lives Matter movement to Colin Kaepernick's, you know, his whole movement of, you know, showing injustice within African-American men and cops and whatnot?
I think him getting – so it's a dual – it's a two-part answer for yeah. me. I think him getting back on the field, one, is huge.
Yeah, agreed.
Then also him getting on the field with his social stance matters. It only matters if he comes out and plays at a high level. Let's be honest.
Agreed. I agree.
If he comes out and he totally stinks it up, then San Francisco can cut him and it'll be the end of that.
Yeah. I agree.
They'll be justified in letting him go because of his play. Then also with some of which I didn't consider it a headache. But, you know, when you're an NFL organization, all you want people to talk about and focus on is football.
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, you would be justified in getting rid of him because he was a distraction. Mm-hmm. But unless Colin Kaepernick comes out and plays at the level that he played at when he took this team to the Super Bowl, then his stance will go all for naught. You know, people will just say, oh, he's just a distraction, mm-hmm. and this, that, and the third. So I'm definitely rooting for him. I want to see him succeed.
Oh, I'm rooting for him, and I want him to play well. And I do, and I'll say this much. You know, Muhammad Ali, as great as he was, RIP, you know, it holds more clout from all the stances he made and what he put out there and what sacrifices he made is because how great he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at
Jim Brown, same way.
Yeah, Chris Jackson or either Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yeah, did say
he was a good player.
Yeah, he was a good player.
He was a good player. But you know, his message didn't reach to the level that it would have. Let's be honest. If he played at a superstar level than just a good player level.
Yeah, you know, he was a good scorer, but he wasn't a superstar.
Absolutely.
So if Colin Kaepernick, and it's just I'm just being real, if Colin Kaepernick looks like the guy he looked like, Will T said when Jim Harbaugh was in love with him and thought, you know, he was way better than Alex Smith. If he plays at that level, then his message is louder. His message is stronger.
I don't think his message is louder. I think the platform.
I guess that's what I mean.
The platform is expanded, right? And then his voice will be heard further than what it is now. You know, and it also, it may upset a lot more people.
It will. It probably will.
It probably will, you know, but I think there are people like myself and you who are definitely rooting for him to succeed. And mm-hmm. I also think that there's a there's another side of it, that there are people who hope that he fails.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And falls flat on his face.
There's a lot of people that hope he fails. And we hope that it doesn't happen. But anyway, this is a great topic. This was a good topic to talk about. We'll get to see more of it as, you know, as the weeks go on. Hopefully the guys plays well. But thanks for y'all listening to the show. We're about to wrap this show up. Will T, any parting shots? Anything you want to say?
Nah, man. You know, just grab her by the. It's like, nah. I'm not gonna say that. We're sports fans just like you. We thank you for, you know, thank you for George for following us live, and anyone else who followed us live and took time out of your day to listen to us, whether it's live or listen to the podcast or listen to the Podbean on the website.
So definitely, man.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
And we appreciate y'all. Y'all stay blessed. This is Urban Sports saying
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, homie.